Tonight is a different kind of a class, and I'm wearing a different hat, figuratively, but I suppose also physically, because I want to share some information, not as a spiritual teacher, actually, but as an observer and perhaps even, I'll stretch it to say, an analyst of current events. And so what I want to do tonight is to share with you what I consider to be, to use the jargon in that field, a sit rep, right? A situation report about the state of the world and its implications for all of us. And I want to, I hope that we will all be listening to this information and these, assertions or possibilities that I'm going to talk about from that perspective of wholeness and of faith in God and faithfulness to the truth that you are not the body, because otherwise you will not be able to receive this with an accurate kind of response, but there would be instead some very incoherent emotional reactivity. And let's avoid that at all costs, because the truth is what sets us free. It should not cause any bondage. It's only the ego with its illusory fantasy desires that creates baggage and bondage. So let's be as free of all of that as possible and be in a state of acceptance of the will of God, because this is the path to freedom. So, in a way, for this being, we are reaching what is the closing of a circle, which was the title of the first Gems book, not without relevance to what I'll be speaking about tonight. I suppose that circle began at a conscious level on November 22nd, 1963, with the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in the United States. And now, you see, we have the revenge of the Kennedys is happening in the U.S. Political arena, which is also the closing of a circle. And it's one of the many myths that are being played out in our theodrama, which is an arena in which many mythologies all converge at the end into a culminating realization. But this is one of those that I think certainly is sparking and reconfiguring the minds of many people, not only in the United States, but in the whole Western Empire. And it's one of those events that shows that the deep state elite is fracturing, because the Kennedy faction, let's say, of the elite that was overthrown in 1963, which was the beginning of the plan that has been going on, that reached its first landmark in 9/11 in 2001. And is now reaching its ultimate culmination, began with that successful coup. But the underside of the elite that had been deposed never lost completely its power and its influence within the upper strata of the social order in the West. And now we see it being activated again and led by such beings as Elon Musk and a number of others who are supporting this movement. And I don't want to get too much into that political subsection of all of this, but let's just say it's a sign that the hegemon is losing control of the reins of government. It still has power and control of the military, etc., but it's rapidly losing its power. And, of course, the main reason the power is being lost is that the resistance of those nations who do not want to be under the control of the Western Empire, mostly Russia, China, and Iran, have organized themselves very successfully, not only to resist politically but militarily, and have brought about a very successful movement of de-dollarization, which, as you probably know, is accelerating at almost light speed. And the so-called BRICS nations that I'm sure you know about are creating an alternative currency centered mostly on gold-backed yuan and ruble, but also other currencies. And the amount of trade in the dollar is going down precipitously, and at a certain point in the very near future, the dollar will lose its stature or status as a reserve currency. And at that point, the U.S. will no longer be able to, I won't say pay its bills, because it doesn't pay its bills, but to convince people that the dollar has any value, and it will crash and become worthless to buy anything. And I think those who are in the dollar system need to be aware of that aspect of reality that will hit home very soon. It's being kept up as long as they can manage it, but their ability to sustain it much longer is weakening. And since 2001, the 9/11 event, which was the excuse for the endless war in which the U.S. took out, beginning with small countries, all of those who were resisting both the hegemony of the dollar and of the empire, including Iraq, obviously, Libya, and the attempt was made to destroy Syria, which has now failed, and there have been other failures. There was a failure to overthrow the Venezuelan government. You remember that embarrassing thing with the Guaido person who was supposedly appointed as the real government, which never went anywhere. And there have been a number of failures and loss of face for the empire in recent years. And this has, of course, created a great deal of paranoia in the deep state and a further acceleration of their need to eliminate enemies before they lost the power to sustain the 800 or so military bases around the world and the gigantic, not only military, but we could say bribery and criminality schemes that are supportive of the empire's global governing structure. And so it has led to the NATO-backed war of Ukraine against Russia. And at this point, it is very clear to everyone who sees what's going on that Ukraine has lost strategically and will soon not exist. Its army has been completely destroyed and depleted. Its whole population, especially of males of fighting age, I suppose, but they're getting people off the streets now who are 10, 11 years old or 70 or 80 years old and putting uniforms and sending them in to die. But their ability to maintain that has now reached its end. And the U.S. weapons system have systems that are the main industry that the U.S. has still. It sells weapons to other countries. The U.S. weapons have, and all of NATO's weapons have proven to be inferior to those of Russia. So, of course, this also has an immediate impact on global economy and global alliances. And so we have seen a shift of alliances away from the West by most of the countries of the South toward Russia and China. The battle for that influence is still going on, but the outcome is absolutely clear that the West is on the losing side of this. And none of their sanctions against Russia obviously have had a negative effect on Russia, but they have bankrupted Europe, and they are they have therefore triggered what is now happening throughout Europe, but especially in Germany and France, of an uprising of the population against the governing elites, who are the vassal subordinates of the Western Empire. And so they are in danger of being overthrown. And this, of course, would be the end of the capacity of NATO to sustain any possible conflict with any hope of success against this rival power bloc that is now growing in power daily, while the U.S. and the West shrinks in their power and their credibility and their capacities. We've also, of course, seen that in the last several years with the COVID program, a plan of deliberate depopulation of their own populations have been proceeding in the West, and that has been there has been an attempt to get the entire world to go along with this, but that program at this point has also failed. It has killed many millions, but it has failed to achieve its aim. And so there is yet another inability of the deep state to achieve its intentions, and its capacity to then sustain the loyalty of its own military is becoming in doubt, and its whole. Its whole organizational structure is shaking and in danger of fracturing. So, as this happens, the moment that the U.S. is no longer able to bribe and intimidate its vassal states, they will change sides, and that's something that is an imminent prospect that is being faced by the West right now. And they have run the world for a long time now, and they have no intention of letting go of that power. And so they have been pursuing this war in Ukraine without a let-up, despite the fact that they have strategically lost. They are continuing without even admitting the true nature of the situation, because they don't care about the people of Ukraine or of anywhere, really, in terms of their lives and their well-being. They're only interested in maintaining their power. And so the war is going on, even though it has clearly... in terms of Ukraine itself, no possibility of that that country surviving as a puppet state. So we have come to a situation now where the clock is ticking on the Western Empire's ability to sustain itself. It's almost out of power. And those who are in the dominant faction still have decided to go all out. They are not going to go down without a fight. There will not be a graceful change of dynasty, you know, and an admission that, you know, the U.S. will now be a relatively... third-rate power, and it's bankrupt, and it will, you know, do its best to try to recreate some kind of productive factories, etc. But they are going for what in the U.S. football would be called a Hail Mary attempt to score a touchdown. Score a victory despite the fact that they are on the brink of total defeat. And the way that they have decided to do this is through a surprise attack on Russia. This is my hunch, given my analysis of their intentions and of events that are that seem to point to this as the intention. And for those of you not aware, on June 12th to June 23rd, the entire Air Force and military of NATO will have its fighter planes, its bombers, its entire inventory of war airplanes in the atmosphere in an exercise. It's called Air Defender 23, AD-23. You can look it up online. The largest air war exercise ever. And all of those planes, which are going to be flown to Europe, will be flying toward Russia on an exercise. That exercise could easily go live. You're going to have hundreds, if not more like 1,000 warplanes totally, that will be very close to Russia, and each of them armed with nuclear war-headed missiles that will all be firing simultaneously into Russian territory to attempt to overwhelm the air defense capacities of the Russian Federation. And those capacities are very strong, but I doubt that they can handle the total number of missiles and guided bombs that will be simultaneously coming from every part of Europe toward Russia. At the same time, no doubt that the U.S. nuclear submarines will be firing their missiles from the Mediterranean, the Arctic, the North Atlantic, and even the Pacific. It has recently also come to light that the U.S. has been secretly refitting all of the warplanes that had been in mothballs and put to rest in air bases in the U.S., the main one in San Antonio, but it's been leaked out that they are fitting them all out. They've been training not only Ukrainian pilots to have this, but they will now have thousands of extra airplanes, F-16s mostly, but also other kinds of jets and bombers and AWACS, etc., that will be available for this mission with a refit that enables them to fire nuclear tipped missiles. And apparently these are being sent to not only to Europe, to Poland and the countries that are bordering Russia, which now will also include Finland, Norway, and Sweden, but they are being sent to the Philippines and from there apparently to South Korea and other places. So it seems like it will be a simultaneous attack on China as well as on Russia, and probably Iran will be attacked as well. And there will be this will be the culmination of a global nuclear war that the U.S. believes it can win. And because the modern-day nuclear warheads, unlike the old ones, do not give off such radiation as they used to, the deep state elite believe that they can bring their minions into the underground cities that they have built to survive this, and then come out at a certain time and take over. So it is my guess, judging from what I would perceive as their view of their last hope of a military victory, that they would take advantage of this air exercise to achieve the aim that they've been focusing on achieving since at least 2001 and probably 1963. Remember Cuban Missile Crisis that started all of this, and now we have a reversal. But it is this conflict that is now finally is going to be culminated. And I don't think that the people who are in charge have any other option in their mind, and that this has already been decided. Now, whether it will happen during this exercise, maybe, maybe not. Maybe it will be another rehearsal and it will happen after that. But my guess is that there's a very high probability of global nuclear war within the next 2 weeks. Okay, so I think that people should take that very seriously, because to me the pieces fit together, the dots are connecting with great coherence, and it seems to be the strategy that they are following. Now, the Russians are not fools. In fact, if anything, they're far more intelligent and aware of all of this. And if you read the newspapers recently, Putin has just called for a surprise naval exercise of the entire Russian Navy, both in the Atlantic and the Pacific, to make sure that they are in full readiness to respond to any attack with an immediate destruction of all of Europe and the United States and Canada. And the Russians have a very high level of superiority in terms of hypersonic missiles, etc. And so they their counterattack, if that's what it will be, is very likely to be unstoppable. But because they are not foolish, they also know that their chances would increase if they didn't wait to see if the West was going to attack, but if they launched a surprise attack first, so and caught all of those Western aircraft on the ground before they got into the air for this exercise. And so two are playing this game, not just one side, and both sides are very, very aware of the powers and the intelligence gathering capacities of the other. And there's very little that can be kept hidden from the Russians. Along with this, it's very likely that there will be high-altitude nuclear explosions, probably over the U.S., Europe, and Russia and China, by the various sides, that will create what's called EMP, or electromagnetic pulse. Now, EMP is like a mega lightning strike that is so powerful it will take out the entire electric grid of a continent, one explosion, instantaneously. And not simply the grid, but your phones and all the electric equipment, if there's an EMP, a pulse, will no longer function. All of it will be gone. All of the information you may have on your computer will not be accessible. And there will probably be no further electricity for almost anyone in the world, because all the grids, no doubt, will be targeted to create the most massive effects of depopulation, because this is also going along with engineered food shortages and other forms of increasing mortality. That are all converging on a single moment of completion of this rather diabolical plan. So the culmination of Kali Yuga could happen within a week or two. And I think that for that reason, it's probably important for yogis to become very sober about what you would like to achieve in that time. And if you are interested in Jivan Mukti, this is the time to get very serious about it. But you need to understand that the effects of this are something that will be literally global in their effects. And you can believe or not believe anything I have just said. I'm not imposing this as gospel or teaching this as if Shiva told me this and I'm passing it on. No, I'm simply speaking as a political observer. That's all. So take it for what you think it is worth. But those who are planning to travel in the near future to Europe, might want, or the U.S., or Canada, or any of the places that will be affected, which is most everywhere, should probably factor that into your plans. And I think that whatever preparations, obviously, that the ashram can make to be ready for this should go into overdrive in the next week or so, to whatever we can accomplish that hasn't yet been done, because of all of the effects on our ability to purchase things, on the ability of people to travel, because travel will be done once this happens, obviously. And even if it's just a dollar crash, you won't be able to buy airplane tickets to travel, and you won't be able to probably get back from wherever you might be going if even that much of this happens in the next short period, which is very highly likely, as I say. So I think that it's important for us to be out of denial, if anyone is still in denial of this, and not to react with fear about any of this. I'm not fear-mongering. I'm really not. This is realism. And the more realistic that we are, the more we will focus on what is really important. And what is important is getting out of the ego consciousness and back into union with God. And that is the real preparation that I am proposing everyone should be focused on. But we also would like to survive physically at the ashram long enough to give everyone a chance to achieve that end. So see if I left anything out that I wanted to mention to you. I think that pretty much covers the events that I wanted to put on the table for everyone to consider and to be able to think about in the most rational and sublime way possible, because all of this is a blessing. It will end the suffering of Kali Yuga much more rapidly than otherwise. And if we understand that all we have been predicting this would happen for, well, since 2001 at least, and we have been working to create a Noah's Ark for just this event. So we should all be ready, clearly, by now, psychologically, as well as in terms of the sustainability of the ashram. But at some point in the next week, I also want to talk about what effects we can expect to happen in Costa Rica if this all comes about as I have laid out, and how as an ashram we will need to deal with the fallout, both in terms of radiation, but of all of the social ramifications, political ramifications, etc., of this event for us here as well, but also for those who, wherever you may be located, to take into consideration in terms of what you want to accomplish while there is still time to do so, and what are your highest concerns, and are they realistic, and if they are you willing to do what is necessary in that short time, which would probably be very radical for most people in terms of life decisions that they wouldn't otherwise make. So in any case, I felt I had an obligation to share this with you so that you can at least think about what you want to do, if anything. Not that the character actually does anything. Remember, the character is only a fictional result of the choreography that's going on of this play from a much higher level. But those who are still identified with the character will have to use their rational capacities to make some important decisions. And so I think that now that I have said that, I feel free of having any secrets about what I think might happen as a worst-case scenario. I hope it doesn't happen over the next 2 weeks, and I hope we have more time. And we may, but we may not. So that's the state of the world that I wanted to share. And now I'll open the floor if anyone wishes to respond or ask any questions. Namaste. Do I have a mic if people do want to ask you?
Do you have that information about the exercise home?
You can look up AD 23 or NATO air exercise. It's I think it's called Air Defender 23. It's one of a number of exercises. There was just one in Sweden and Norway and Denmark that actually is going on right now. That's part of this, and so the warplanes are already going to be there because of Arctic Defender, which is another exercise specifically for the Nordic countries and an Arctic-based attack on Russia. And so that's already underway and will be part of the next exercise. So there's a number of interwoven war games that have been and will be going on during this period, and nothing like this has ever been operationalized. So this is a historic event, and it may be the event that ends history.
I have one more question. Is it in the mainstream news, or
no.
This is just
completely
covered up?
No. You have to go to the alternative news, and there are some very intelligent analysts in the alternative news. I didn't come prepared to give you a list of all the websites, but there's a lot of information coming out, and some being leaked by people who are aware, like of the retrofitting of mothballed warplanes and sending them to the Pacific as well as Europe, and there's a lot of information from a lot of sources that is not official but is highly credible. So I have just pretty much put it all together and connected the dots, but there's a lot of research that's gone into this. But there are some very good analysts who are warning about this, but not very many, and certainly not in the mainstream. The propaganda from the mainstream is Russia is losing. And because Russia is losing, they're going to set off a nuke. And there may well be a false flag, a nuclear attack, possibly on the Zaporizhzhia nuclear facility in Ukraine that will also attempt to disorganize Russia's military operation in Ukraine just before the exercise goes live, and justify why NATO has to do this, because Russia started it, right? So I would expect false flags to be involved in this as well.
Thank you.
Have you analyzed the possibility of another bioweapon being released, like far worse than COVID?
Yeah, but I think that they've decided that this is a much faster way to do this. And because people have already seen through the bioweapon game, they are more likely to resist that. But it's very hard to resist nukes raining down on you from space. So I think that's the plan.
Thank you, Shunya, for this. I appreciate the analysis. There's a theory that I've been looking at for a while now, which is that China's already kind of taken over the U.S. from the inside in terms of injecting the military, making them useless. Biden seems to be a puppet. Do you find any credibility in that? Is that a red herring? Do you have any thoughts on it?
You know, I think it's part of the games that are being played here, but I think that the intention is a general depopulation. So, yes, the U.S. will be destroyed, and China is obviously ready. They've been announcing they're preparing for the worst-case scenario. They made that very clear, and they've eliminated all contacts with the U.S. military. They say, basically, we're at war already, right? So that's going on. But I think that the plan to destroy China as well as the U.S. is live and underway. They don't want China to exist after this either. So it's a plan to end the world as we know it. And I could add one more factor to this. They've just a whistleblower who is high in the U.S. government has announced, yes, UFOs are here, and we have crash planes, and we've retrofitted right there spaceships, et cetera, and there is some truth to this as well, and who may be the ultimate beings in charge of this operation may not be humans at all, but others planning to take over this real estate of Earth once the human pestilence is removed. So, you know, there's many different layers to who's in charge of this control grid, but I think that the plan is to wipe out the entire human population.
Namaste. If their plan is to wipe out the entire human population, but also to gain control, what's the objective then of wiping out the population?
Well, if they are of a different species, they don't want this species around.
Except
in zoos. And if it's the humans doing it, they have a huge underground cities, and they will survive with a certain population. But they also have artificial intelligence. They have robots. They don't need a huge human population. They would prefer a much smaller population of loyal beings who will be part of their new control system, who will be microchipped and enslaved and completely unthreatening to them. So, you know, I think those who are operating at that level, that's their belief of how the outcome will be. I think there's a lot of different middle managers to this whole thing, with different understandings, because they're only told what they need to know. You know, the Bill Gateses and the other people who, Klaus Schwabs and those people, they have roles to play, and they are told what they need to know. There's a lot they probably don't know. And once they are expendable, you know, they'll probably be removed as well. But remember, God is in charge of all of this, not aliens and not evil humans. And all of this will bring a very quick and merciful end to a suffering world, and the ability for those who are left, who are in Jivan Mukti, to redream the world as a beautiful heavenly place without waiting. And there will be no resistance left from lower vibrational frequencies of egoically based humans or others, because the power of God will wash away all of that kind of illusory existences and enable the divine right of those who are avatars of divine consciousness to create a new world. So the power is not in the hands of any of the people doing this. They are working for a much higher power without knowing it.
So what is the higher power?
God is the higher power.
I guess I mis- Because like in United Nations they have like 2030 agenda.
Yeah, we won't reach 2030.
No.
No. But the higher power that doesn't want the world to suffer, I'm talking about God.
Yeah.
God is real. God is in charge. All of this is a blessing. It's not what it looks like to the ego, and that's why I don't want you to think about this in those terms. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of an evil phase of consciousness from which we must grow back into our true divine nature and create a more beautiful kingdom of heaven. And all of the resistance to that will be eliminated at one moment, and that higher vibrational frequency will be able to establish itself and create a very beautiful world without conflict, without any of the evil beings, and it will be a world that will be sustainable through an entire new cycle of time.
So what you're saying, that God will take care of people who go in underground and take care of them?
They will be destroyed by other geological forces and buried alive. Their plans will not be able to be fulfilled.
Okay. How do you know that?
God is in charge.
Okay.
Have faith.
The creation of a new world. I heard always that humans are earthbound to the planet.
What's that?
That we are earthbound. That we are bound to the planets, to our planet Earth. The
no.
Humans, not.
No, we're bound
so the,
only
the
to
the new
God.
World will be something completely different.
Mm-hmm. No, it will. It will be a world that will consider Earth, but it will be a new world, a new dream. It's a dream. You think the world really exists. It doesn't.
But
it's,
on a more, let's say, less dense level, not physical, more spiritual. More.
Well, this world is spiritual. There's nothing physical. It doesn't exist. It's just that the frequency level of the consciousness of the ego is so dense that it mistakes a spirit for matter. But it's not. That's just the collapsed quantum wave function. Once it's decollapsed, and an entirely different level of vibrational frequency is present, then yes, it will be very clear to those inhabitants of the next Sat Yuga that is coming that the world is pure magical spirit and everything is alive with spirit. And it will be a miraculous world. But this world already is that, but we have lost the ability to use those powers. They've atrophied over many, many lifetimes. Now is the moment when we can get it all back if we're willing to be struck by that lightning bolt that frees us from the ego. That everything depends on that.
Okay.
Thank you for this very sobering news. And my question has to do with the preparation overdrive, because on one hand, it seems that there is a possibility of total destruction of the world, as what you're explaining. But on the other hand, there might be areas in the world that could survive such a nuclear, let's say, confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
And you just said, you know, we have to go for it. So in we always say, you know, pray to Allah but tie your camel too. So
yeah.
What kind of preparations when you think of that? What could be the role of an ashram in such a let's say a situation or scenario where there, you know, there are
Yeah, I think Costa
areas.
Rica will be one of those places that's not a war zone, doesn't have a military, doesn't have oil, it's not going to very likely be invaded, maybe a little bit by Nicaragua, but probably not very much. And the closest nuke will probably be at the Panama Canal, because I'm sure that the U.S. military base there won't be left alone. Mm. But basically, I don't think much radiation will affect us, really, and I don't think that's the issue. It'll be more the chaos of the system collapsing, the empire not existing anymore. I think it will have a huge effect on the order of life here that will dissolve. I don't think that the social system here will be anything like what it was, and there will be a new organization. And so I think those grassroots communities of trust that have coherence, that have some wisdom, that are at peace and that can help other people be at peace and understand this from a higher plane, will become perhaps the centers of the reorganization of a new culture in the interim before the new dream of Satyuga is fully installed. So I do think that we may have a function in that capacity of helping to bring peace to this region. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think it's very important that we understand that when the grid goes down, we're done in terms of the internet, in terms of cell phone capacity to communicate with anyone. We may have a ham radio here that may be able to connect with some survivors in different places, but basically we will be out of communication, and we are deliberately in a fairly remote area. Remember, there won't be gas and oil either for driving, up and down the hills, etc. So we're going to, in one sense, be in a relative isolation and self-sustenance. But there are, there's a relatively local community in Diamante and etc. that will be, interested in what we have to offer in terms of how to proceed from here and reestablish a coherent system of living that will no longer be based on money. Mm-hmm. Basically, it will be we will have to return to an economy that's based on love and wisdom and on all of the old virtues mm-hmm. that had been jettisoned in the modern age, and that will be I think an interesting project. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You can. I think Natasha had another question.
So you're talking about how the Americas will be affected. So do you think then that Russia will be completely wiped out too?
And China? It's not clear. It's not really clear the effect. I think there will be huge effect, obviously. But if they attack first, I think the effect on them will be less than if they are taken by surprise. So it's not something I can say how many will survive, but some probably will for some time. And I think that there are a lot of very spiritual beings in Russia, especially now with the Orthodox Church in ascendancy again. And so I think a lot of Russian Orthodox people are seeing this and planning and in a prayer mode right now and may well be part of that higher consciousness that gets reestablished quickly in the world. So I think we may be, in for a surprise at how quickly Kali Yuga can be wrapped up in the return of God fully, which will wash out this hologram. And what we will all realize again, this was always never anything but light, God's light. And that light will then redream itself as a new world. And I think all of that will happen very quickly. Okay, how many people are glad that I presented this tonight? Yeah, a few. In any case, I hope no one reacts with fear, but that you do think about what do you want, what's valuable to you, and what way do you want to proceed to accelerate your spiritual liberation, if that's what you want. And I'm here to help you to do that, if you do want that, which is one of the aspects of going into overdrive for the ashram. And from my part, that's the main focus that I want to make the centerpiece of our work, as well as the survival on a physical plane for as long as that is relevant. But it's the spiritual transcendence that is the key. And so there may be within the next 2 weeks a sudden influx of people who awaken to this, who want to join us. And then to whatever extent we can allow that or have space for that, I want to make that possible as well for those who deserve to have a place here and who would fit in with our understanding of reality and want liberation. But it's something that is entirely in the hands of God, who will lead those here who are meant to be here, and those who aren't, who will leave. And all of that is a situation that we have to accept without any resistance. And everyone has their own destiny, their own karma, and they need to do what they are called to do. And some people will be so attached to family in other countries that even knowing that they could be going into a war zone, they'll go out of their concern and desire to be with them at the end. And so be it. Ultimately, it's your state of consciousness, not where you are geographically, that will make all the difference in your destiny. So this is not something to be overly concerned about on that level. But the only real question is, who are you? And who do you belong to? And are you fully established in the state of union with God, in your consciousness, in your heart, in your being, so that when the body drops off, there's no fear and there's no identification with the ego that could cause you to remain either as an earthbound spirit or have to go through a bardo state, but that you will be able to directly proceed to the mother light and into Satyuga, if you are destined for that that next lifetime, and to be able to do that with total serenity and joy, because this transition is ultimately the most auspicious thing that has ever happened in history. It's the return of God to a godless and evil world that will wipe out all of evil and bring about a world of pure goodness. And so that's the focus that I would recommend that we have about this, and not to think that this body is who you are and it's your only life. It's the last of a long series of human embodiments, and the least joyous, least beautiful, the least empowered of all of them. And so this life in which most people have been massively traumatized, you should be glad will soon be over and you'll be able to be in a divine life again. You'll ultimately realize that all of this was perfect and was the ultimate blessing that we could receive. So the sooner you get that, the more service you'll be able to give to help others also to be at peace with what's happening. And so I hope that that we are able to create an energy field in which that that light is able to disseminate to the world throughout the whole morphogenic field, even without the assistance of an internet. So this is the real internet will be our quantum entanglement with all souls on the planet to bring the light of God and the love and the peace that they don't have within the ego mind, but that will reconnect them not simply to their souls, but to the Supreme Self, who is the soul of all souls, to whom we are all now returning home. And this is the good news. Thank you all for paying attention. And those of you who do want to focus on liberation, I would suggest that you meditate as much as possible to keep the mind in an inactive state so that the higher intelligence can fill you and you will receive from that higher mind of God the true intentions that are aligned with the will of God for you to fulfill while life remains in the body. So, again, thank you all and blessings to you. Namaste.
Namaste.